Welcome to the Parents Place podcast with Hillary and Jen.
Welcome to the Parents Place podcast today. Thank you all for listening and being with us as our loving audience. We have, well, before we start on the article, I was thinking, Jen, that we don't often in our podcast talk about, I mean, many of you guys know that we obviously are from the Family Place, which is a nonprofit agency here in Utah, but we often don't talk too much about what we do. So I thought for a second, we're going to give you a little blip about who we are and what we do here at the Family Place and how this podcast came to be, because I think it's important. So, you guys all remember that wonderful time when COVID came out, right? That was a good memory that we had.
Sarcasm.
That's hopefully. Right. But kind of in that midst of COVID, we got together as a nonprofit, given the fact that many of our programs had to be tweaked to an extent, since we weren't necessarily holding in-person programming or therapy. We still wanted to be able to make the connection with the community that we were there, especially since we knew that this was a time that children and families needed us more than any other time. I mean, we all remember how isolated and for many, how difficult that time was. Yeah. To be secluded from friends and family and from community. And so we didn't necessarily want to let the community go. We needed to find unique, intriguing ways to continue this connection. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to give myself the credit because I know it wasn't me. And maybe it was you, Jen. I don't remember. But someone on the team, right, mm-hmm. brought up the idea of providing a podcast so that even if we couldn't discuss parenting-related topics in person like we usually do, we still have this platform that we can discuss typical parenting issues, child development, mental health-related techniques, so that we still felt that sense of community. So we're hoping that the podcast did that and continues to do that for you all.
Absolutely. And I think it's morphed a lot since we started it. And yeah, I just love doing it. And I think it's a great way to get information out there. And hopefully people get a giggle every once in a while.
That's right. We are not going to necessarily try to convince you that we are experts in all things or even in some things, right? But we've been in the field of family life education for quite some time now. And so we love being able to discuss these topics and to share our insights and things that we've learned from being in the field, but also to be able to take the experience from you all as you come in and share your stories of resilience and as you provide us with your expertise as to what you're doing in the family life related fields. And so we just love having this platform to be able to share the knowledge. Being involved in education, we know that education is key.
Mm-hmm. And you never stop learning.
That's right. So,
and I think an important piece is you don't have to be having problem to learn new things.
Definitely.
You can be the most functional family ever, but still attend a parenting class and learn something new. Or provide, you know, your thoughts and what works for your kids. So It's never a one and done.
Yeah, I love that. So yes, if you are local, get involved in the Family Place and the services that we provide. And like I said, we are in Utah, which we know that some of our audience is obviously not. But if not, we can hopefully provide you still some resources that can be offered outside of Utah as well, too. So
absolutely.
All of our information is on our website and can be given to you at any time. So anyway, now we'll stay focused and get to what we want to get to, right?
Yeah.
So we try our hardest to bring up topics that we feel like people want to know. And given the fact that we are entering the holiday season, we recognize that for some, this can be a difficult situation to maneuver with your kids. And so we're taking a lot of this information from an article by Dr. Nicole Birkins, which we'll attach in our show notes. But it's all about dealing with when your kids receive a gift, whether that be from you or from grandma or from friends or Santa or whomever it is, and they are disappointed in it. They did not want that pair of socks. Those underwear, that package of underwear that they just received is the last thing they want to see, right? And so they respond. And so how to deal with that disappointment when they didn't necessarily get what they thought they would get, right?
Funny, because I was just watching Home Alone last night. Uh-huh. And he says, yeah, I got this ugly sweater with a big old burn on the front. Oh, and I just had to giggle because we've all received gifts like that.
And you know, Jen, I think that's a great starting point. What you said right there, we've all received gifts that we probably have been less than enthused about, right?
Yeah.
And I think Dr. Birkins, actually, when she introduces the topic, she mentions that to parents about dealing with the inevitable gift disappointment. And I think that word inevitable is key. Like, that we help parents to understand that if this happens, if your child reacts in this way, you are not alone. Every other parent in every other house in this world has probably also dealt with that same scenario.
Yeah.
Because I think that we feel bad for the person who gave the gift. We feel embarrassed on behalf of ourselves as to how come my child didn't react in a better way? How come I didn't teach them better? But I think it's important for us to recognize that feeling disappointed in something is normal.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we've all felt disappointment before in our life. Even as adults, we feel disappointment. But I think it's important for parents to recognize that feeling disappointment, feeling that sense of disappointment, it doesn't necessarily mean that we are rude. It's it's a normal, regular feeling that tends to happen. And we all know, I mean, I think even like, I think put ourselves in our child's shoes and not even necessarily, probably don't even have to go back to childhood. You can probably think of a scenario as an adult where you thought something was going to happen in a certain way, or you were going to receive something that you did not end up receiving and you were like, crap.
Yeah.
Well, that's not fun, right? And so it's natural. And I think that's probably the first step for us as parents is to realize this is pretty normal, right? This is pretty normal for kids to feel this sense of disappointment. And we've all been there.
Yep.
We've all felt that. Right? And to an extent, we can combat it. We can do something about it. But I think normalizing it is probably the first step to take.
Every year, John reminds me that he loves Batman, still as an adult, loves Batman, and wanted a Batman cape and mask and the utility belt and everything. And his parents couldn't afford it. So his mom made it. Still, bless there was disappointment. Yes. Bless her heart. He also wanted one of the X-Wing fighters from Star Wars. Couldn't afford that. So they got him one of those little, I don't know, the planes that you put on the rubber band back in the day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. He shot it out. That was his Star Wars plane. Poor guy. So, yeah, he still remembers it and he still talks about it often.
The disappointment has yet to leave him as an adult.
Maybe I should buy him those things as an adult.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
Let it go.
But you know, we've talked in this podcast before, and we've had many guests that have brought up information about helping kids learn feelings, to learn how to regulate feelings. And we know that young children have an incredibly hard time regulating their emotions. And for young children, we also recognize that they have very little ability when it comes to controlling their impulses, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that, I think actually Dr. Birkins even brings up that, you know, that filter, that socially appropriate filter that we develop that helps us to keep a smile on our face and say thank you, even when we're not feeling fantastic, that is still developing even into our young adult years. So
sometimes even into our adult years.
Right. I mean,
sometimes my filter doesn't work.
Sometimes it's hard to hide, right? But I think keep that in mind. If you have a 5-year-old that is sad and throwing a fit, it's nearly impossible for them to regulate that impulse control at the moment. Like that developmentally, brain-wise, is not something they have control over yet. Mm-hmm. So we can comfort, we can provide assistance, but those tears will probably come, right?
Yep.
And I think that it's okay in those moments to turn to that other adult, whether that be grandma or neighbor or friend, whoever it is, and say, you know what, we're still learning how to regulate our emotions here, so that we can help that other person to understand this is hard, right?
Yeah.
But this is also appropriate. So we're working on this here. We appreciate that gift, and that was so thoughtful to provide, but recognize that these tears aren't because they don't like you, or that maybe they don't even appreciate it, but they're just maybe dealing with some big things right now, and that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about the before.
That's what I was just going to say.
I think there's a lot we can do to prep. I mean, we know Christmas is coming up, right? Mm-hmm. We know presents are going to be given. We know that there are some presents that are going to be subpar according to our kids, right?
Right.
So what can we do to prepare that process?
I really like what she says in here. Is she gives examples on how do you talk to your kids prior to.
Mm-hmm.
And then going through questions of, okay, let's practice.
Yeah.
What do you think it will feel like if you don't get a video game you asked for? So talking about those feelings, those emotions, because we need to validate them.
Mm-hmm.
But then going into the next step of what can we do? But talking and pre-thinking about things can squash the whole public embarrassment of our children being disappointed with what they've got.
Mm-hmm. I had an experience just a few weeks ago with my kids. So you guys ever do, or did you grow up with those like little advent chocolate calendars that they have?
Mm-hmm.
We get like the really cheap dollar ones that the chocolate is awful, but it's still the most amazing thing every morning, right? To open up.
Mm-hmm.
So I had already purchased some for my kids leading up to the holiday season. And my in-laws wanted to come over to give the kids something special. And so they called me to warn me about that. And I knew instantaneously, darn it, they've just bought themselves a chocolate advent calendar for them as well, too. Not that it's bad to receive two. Bring on the chocolate, right?
Right.
But I very quickly sat my kids down and I prepped them. I said, Grandma and Grandpa have bought you a special gift. And I told them, I believe that it's probably going to be another chocolate calendar, sweeties. Now, when you open that up, do you think it's going to be helpful to say, I already have one of those. I don't need another one. Mom and Dad gave that to me. Mm-hmm. I said, we don't necessarily need to say that. And I said to them, what do you think an appropriate response would be to getting a gift, even if it's a gift that you already have? And my little one, you know, like my 8-year-old, she's like, I'll probably just say thanks. And I'm like, perfect, right? That's all we need. And so even like going through that dialogue of, if you open this up, what do you think you could say? Mm-hmm. How do you think you could react, right?
Yeah.
And so it was perfect. And they opened it up. And yes, it was the chocolate calendars, like I would have assumed. And my kids were great at saying, thank you. I love chocolate. Nobody needed to say anything about, we've got one in the pantry right now, so you can take that one home.
Yeah.
But that prep, that 2 minutes of prep before they arrived,
mm-hmm.
really helped this scenario. So I think we can do that. I think we can sit down with our kids and just have this open, honest conversation about how is it, you know, and I love that you said, like, how would it feel if you got socks instead of a car? Mm-hmm. And because I think it's good to validate those emotions. It's good to validate them in the moment, but it's also good to validate them, you know, in preparation for the moment, for your kids to be like, well, that would be really sad. You're right. That would be really sad. Let's think about why grandma might be giving you those socks, mm-hmm. right? To maybe kind of help them understand a little bit more of that scenario. But yeah, it probably would be kind of a bummer. I recognize why you might feel that way.
Yeah.
So
I'm just thinking, like, I don't know, how would you, and maybe I'm just totally off because when I got stepkids, they were older.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 9. But, you know, we as parents get lots of homemade stuff. I mean, even my stepdaughter has painted me many pictures. And, you know, the younger ones were like, oh, thank you. That's beautiful. You know, what do you feel like? Or do you feel like it would be appropriate to say, remember when you gave me that painting? Uh-huh. What happens if I would have really told you I didn't like that?
Yeah.
And that I already had one, or this wasn't as great as it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about sharing? Because I don't want them to think, yeah, I don't like this gift, because I did. It meant a ton to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But turning around on them and making them think. Yeah. What are your feelings on that?
I mean, I think that by doing that, you're just helping them practice that skill of empathy, right? Like,
yeah.
Being able to put yourself in someone else's shoes. If you gave a gift, remember when you worked so hard at that Christmas wreath in first grade and you gave that to me? What if I would have just said, I would have rather had something else?
Yeah,
I love that. I love that because I think it helps them relate to the scenario better if they can see, oh yeah, like that mm-hmm. would be really tricky. And so I think that's a really powerful exercise to go through with your kids. So
I was just a little worried I was being too mean.
Nah, I mean, if you toss the picture, no, I'm just kidding.
No, they're hanging in my office.
I keep all of those things that you draw for me, right?
Yeah.
You know, but she brings up a good point. She talks about, and this is maybe something that would be more difficult with your little ones, again, because they're still learning about emotions and regulation. But with your school age kids and older, she even talked about how oftentimes in a scenario, it's normal to feel 2 different emotions. So she said, you know, you might still be grateful that grandma gave you those socks because deep down inside, you know that you need socks.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also still feel a little disappointed in that. And so I think even that, helping them to understand that sometimes you might feel opposing emotions too,
yeah.
right? You're grateful for grandma and everything that she does, but socks are socks. And that's okay too.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and like I said, that's probably a more in-depth skill that I don't think that you will see with your little ones. So don't expect that they'll probably be able to grasp that ability. But I think even dialoguing that with our older kids to say, yeah, you've probably had that experience before, right?
Yeah.
I think that that's powerful.
Yeah. Let's see. What was the other thing that I loved about it? Well, we talked about practicing with them.
Yes.
But I think also giving them the words that they can use that are appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So a thank you, or you know what, that was a really thoughtful gift. Thank you so much. So giving them the words of how to respond.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think some kids would say, yeah, thank you. I didn't really want this, but thank you.
That sounds like sometimes a typical 8-year-old.
Gotta coach them not to say those other things, but I liked that part.
We talk a lot about role play in parenting and with kids, and I get it. You parents out there, there's a lot of you that are like, never would I ever attempt to role play with my child. I mean, we've talked before, Jen and
I. Oh, yeah, I don't like it.
Role play is not our favorite thing, right? So I get it. You know, it puts you out of your comfort zone to be like, I'm going to pretend to be so-and-so. You're going to pretend to be this. And we don't have to go that dramatic or that big with our kids, but just do something simple when you're driving in the car with your kids and say to them, okay, let's say that you got a super ugly sweater from grandpa. What would you say if you got that really nasty looking sweater? You know, and so it doesn't need to be anything out of the ordinary, just something simple, just having that conversation at a time where, like you said, we can brainstorm back and forth and talk about maybe things that would be good, maybe things that would not be so good. So that, and you know, it might, I think by doing that, it gives them a lot of confidence walking into this situation. Mm-hmm. Because I think so often kids walk into that scenario and they don't know what to do. And then they don't know how to respond. And that's maybe where the tears come in. And that's maybe where the tantrums come in, or mm-hmm. the words that later they regret. And so being able to give them the confidence that this is a great thing. This is a great thing to say at the moment. They're like, sweet, I've got this, right? I can do this.
Yeah. And it gives them a little bit of control in the situation where they may feel like they don't have any control.
Uh-huh. And, you know, I think even after it, so, I mean, as we've discussed, there's a lot of prep work that can really assist in this scenario. But in the moment, if things don't go right, which sometimes they don't, that's still okay, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's still okay. And I think that there's some work that we can do after the moment as well, too. You know, when our kids have calmed down, when we've had the ability to help them regulate and modulate and get to an appropriate place, maybe still having that conversation about, oh, you know, how do you think grandma would felt when you started to cry about that gift? Yeah, she probably was a little bit sad about that, right? So what can we do now? And mm-hmm. so, and I think even after the fact, we can problem solve solutions, right? You think it would make her feel a little bit better if we wrote her a thank you note? Or maybe next time we see her, let's give her a hug and say, thanks for the gift, you know? And so I think even if we do as much prep as possible and things blow up in our face, which sometimes they do in parenting, right? Mm-hmm. There's still some work that can be done, right? On our end, and obviously on their end.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if your child does blow up, I mean, making sure that we're in a good place too, because when our kids blow up, then we get embarrassed, and then we probably say things we don't want to say. And so making sure that we're keeping our emotions and energy in a positive way so that it doesn't increase the negative behaviors that may be happening.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, we talk about this quite often, but you guys as parents, you know your kids better than anyone else. And so maybe you know that this is a problem that you're working on, right? It's not perfect. Mm-hmm. We're working on it. It's a process. I think it's very appropriate to pull those people aside before those gifts are given to say, hey, just as a heads up, we're working on regulating emotions. And so sometimes if we don't always get what we want, Johnny gets a little bit sad. We're working on it. But just so you know, if that happens when he opens up any gifts, know that we appreciate everything that you do for us. Mm-hmm. You know, something to that extent, to let those other people recognize that it's okay. It's okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And adults will understand. But I also liked how she talked about what wasn't helpful. Mm. And she gave one example of, I know it's really hard when you expected one thing and got another. Like, that's not very helpful. Let's talk about what they can say.
Uh-huh.
And then what was the other thing that I really liked? Oh, we'll stop at the store on the way home and get you what you really wanted.
Yes.
That doesn't do our teaching either.
Yeah. Right. Because you think about, okay, what's the lesson learned by, you know, throwing that major fit or dealing with that dysregulation? Well, if I get loud and cry and find ways to manipulate that scenario, then in the end, I'll receive the gift that I wanted to begin with. So, mm-hmm.
It's always I don't know if you remember the cat on the counter analogy.
Oh, yes.
I love that analogy because lots of times we as parents don't realize that we teach kids those negative things. Like if I throw a tantrum long enough and loud enough, I'll get what I want. But it's the cat on the counter. So our cat jumps on the counter. We put him outside. And this happens day after day after day. What does the cat really want? Just wants to go outside. And this is the way he's learned to go outside.
Yeah.
But that's the same way with kids. If they throw those tantrums over and over and get louder and louder and we give them what they want, well, now we've taught them this is how you get what you want.
Yeah. So providing empathy, validating their response, and then not necessarily giving in to the request. Yeah. And if needs be, I mean, I think that we can, especially with our older kids, if we want to sit down later and say, hey, I know at Christmas you were really hoping for that Star Wars Lego. You didn't get it. And I know that that's really frustrating. Let's talk about maybe some things that you could do to earn that yourself, you know, over the next few months. And so something like that, where we're not necessarily rushing to the store to get the request, but let's problem solve some things that you can do. Let's put the power in your hands and talk about some things you can do possibly to earn that later on. So I think something like that, where you can say, here's the scenarios that you could take, right?
I think also we can put that on your birthday list.
Yeah.
You know, but I like that you can do this to earn some money to buy it for yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was, guys, take a listen and a look at that article by Dr. Birkins, because it was incredibly helpful. And I think that in addition to what we've already shared here, you will find some additional resources that will hopefully help that scenario that you may or may not come to in the next few weeks for the holidays.
Yes, it was a good, really good article. And I do hope that you go and read the whole thing to get, just to remind yourself of the things that we've talked to, but maybe getting some other ideas as well. We thank you for coming and listening to the podcast today. We hope that you're having a really good time with your family and friends in this holiday season, and that you're being safe as well. Remember to be kind and patient with yourself as you're learning new things, and we will see you back here next week. Thank you for listening to the Parents Place podcast. If you would like to reach us, you can at parents@thefamilyplaceutah.org, or you can reach Jen on Facebook, jendaly-thefamilyplace. Please check out our show notes for any additional information. Our website is thefamilyplaceutah.org if you're interested in any of our upcoming virtual classes. We'd love to see you there.